Heavenly Father, I give you praise and thanks, for you are good and your love endures forever. Lord, it is good to be with your people. It is good to study your word and to try to glean from it what you would have us learn. Lord, we are thankful for your patience with us. We're thankful, Lord, for your love for us and how you move us onto maturity more and more, turning us more and more like your son Jesus. And I just pray that you give us a wisdom today, wisdom in our marriages, wisdom in our homes, as we try to navigate life together. And we just praise you and thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So Ephesians 5, 18 through 32. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting one to another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. All right, so how do we attack a passage like this? Well, what we do is really, how we do this to what we do with any passage. Really, we try to understand what's going on. And I've always tried to, when I study a passage of scripture, I try to use something called IRAC. Something I learned in law school. It's really, you try to find out what's the issue. What's the rule? Is there a rule in there that we are to live by? And how would that rule apply to the facts? And then, if you can come up with a conclusion, sometimes it could be right there, but if you come up with a conclusion, what's going on? And that's a good way to study. What's the issue? What's the rule? How does it apply? What would be the conclusion? And so when I read this passage, there's actually lots of different issues kind of you could draw from it. But one that stood out to me is, how do we as Christians deepen our capacity to love our spouse? So how do we as Christians deepen our capacity to love our spouse? And the rule, as I studied this, I looked at the words. The rule really is to be filled with the Spirit. That's really the imperative here. Application, wives submit to your husbands as the church is to submit to Christ. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and died for her. And then I came up with this conclusion as I looked at it. Wives, if you respect your husband as Christ wants and calls you to, and if husbands, you love your wife as Christ wants and calls you to, your marriage will not only thrive and be a sense of joy to you and your family, but you are declaring through your relationship that Jesus Christ loves his bride, the church, that he will never leave her ever, and God will be glorified and get the glory in your home, in your community, in this church, as people witness your love and how you treat each other. So I know we could probably say amen and leave, but there's going to be more in here. But that is a way to IRAC, to take God's word and to kind of apply it here, at least for what I've got. So what is the imperative? It's to be filled with the Spirit. It means to be continually being fed, to be continually being filled. Now, this is different than being sealed with the Spirit, which is what Paul talks about in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 13, he writes, When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So we are sealed with the Spirit when we believe in Jesus, trust in the gospel message that he died for our sins, that we are sinners lost, that we have a Savior through, and that's Jesus Christ. When we receive him, we are then sealed with the Spirit. And I would just like just to take a moment to pray, because there might be people here, people here who hopefully everyone's a believer, but who have heard the word, heard the message, and over time just never really accepted Christ. And you can't be filled with the Spirit unless you're first sealed by the Spirit. So I want to give an opportunity for people to be sealed by the Spirit by receiving Christ. So I just figured let's just pray for 1 minute. If you would like to follow along with me, you can. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you, Lord, in your providence, allow us, Lord, to be saved, that you allow us the gift of eternal life, that we who were dead in our sins are now made alive through Jesus' death and resurrection. So, Lord, I just pray for anyone here who may not know you, Lord, that they might receive you as Father right now, they might receive you, or receive Jesus as their Savior, and that they might trust in him as Lord. Lord, just pray, Lord, that you open hearts and minds today. For we want to be filled with your Spirit. For those of us who are married, we want to grow in our relationship, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, if we are filled with the Spirit, the result, action takes place. Okay? Results take place. And we see it in these verses. If we are filled with the Spirit, we will begin in verse 19, it says, to address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What it's talking about is worship. When we are filled with the Spirit, the natural result is to worship God, okay? We are able to give thanks always and for everything. We're able to submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. Wives are able to submit in a way that seems pretty difficult, like the church submits to Christ. Husbands are able to love, which also seems pretty difficult, as Christ loved the church and died for her. So the imperative here, the results of it, is what the Lord wants from us. So God's desire, God's plea for husbands and wives is that we have the most fantastic relationship possible this side of heaven. That's his desire for us. But really, what's going on here? Because if we look at verse 21, we are to submit one to another. And then verse 22, wives submit to your own husbands. Why the need to bring in this emphasis? Why isn't verse 21 that we submit one to another enough? Well, what does submission mean? Okay, so in verse 21, the word submission is hupotasso, okay? In verse 22, it's the same word, okay? Now, originally, well, at least in the earliest known manuscripts, that word hupotasso actually is not there in verse 22. It's the idea carries over from 21. It's submit one to another out of reverence for Christ, likewise wives to your husband as to the Lord. The same idea. So whether it was there in the earliest manuscripts or in the later manuscripts, the word, the meaning is the same. So however everyone is supposed to submit to each other in verse 21 is the same way we submit to each other in verse 22. So what's the word submission mean? Well, it means to arrange under, to subordinate. It means to yield. It could mean to obey. It has different meanings. In the original Greek, it was a military term to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. Now, in non-military terms, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, carrying a burden. So, in verse 21, when we're to submit one to another, what does that look like? Well, it depends on the situation. It depends on what's going on. You know, Jesus says at one point, hey, if someone asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. You know, it's about that voluntary heart. It's about that voluntary, that response in a sense. That's what he wants. It's always about the heart. You know, in 1 Samuel, there's a point where the people of Israel are sacrificing, and they're sacrificing. But God says to them, you could stop your sacrifices because your hearts are far from me. I don't forgive you sins because your hearts aren't there. It's always about a heart response with our Savior. And so here we are to submit one to another in verse 22, the same way in 21, wives are to submit, whatever that is, the same way. So now, going back to verse 22, who submits to each other? Everybody, right? We all submit. So husbands have to submit to people. Wives submit to people. Non-married people submit to people. Everybody submits one to another. So does that mean husbands can never submit to their wives? In verse 21, of course it does. There's nothing stopping submission in verse 21. We are to submit one to another. But 22 is a little different. 22, he's pointing out wives in specifically. And the Lord is asking wife to do something, which is to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, as the church submits to Christ. Okay, so why is he asking the wife to do this extra emphasis? Why asking the wife to submit to the husbands this way? Well, I think the answer, part of the answer is going to be found in the mystery, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But the answer is found in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I'm not going to get into headship right now, because it's just too much. But why would he ask that? Why is Jesus asking that? Well, your husband has been deemed, according to this verse, head of the household. Why? Because he's stronger? No. Well, maybe. Is he smarter? Does he know the right answers? The answer is no. We know that. But why would God do that? Why would God choose this role for your husband? Well, a wife could say, hey, a woman is so much smarter. And you really wouldn't get an argument from me. But there are some things, something it has to do with the created order. That the reason God has asked the woman to be to submit here is because of the created order. That Adam was created first, then Eve. Some think it's because of the natural physical strength that men would more naturally take the role of provider, protector. Maybe it has to do with how once sin entered the world, everything changed. And the new normal is that men would dominate in a way that God never wanted or intended. But either way, it's clear in Scripture that God is a God of order. And he's placed the husband in this role. The reality for most marriages is what? Well, as we observe marriages, as I've observed them in my life for years, is that wives often have the most influential role in the home. For many of us, the wives determine what happens inside and outside the home. And as Nir Varlota said in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the man may be the head of the household, but the woman is the neck, and she can turn the head whichever way she pleases. Okay? So I want you to note that there's nowhere in this passage that the husband is told to exercise his authority. There's nowhere in this passage where it says if a wife doesn't submit, that the husband should exercise any authority over his wife. No, on the contrary, there's only one thing for a husband to do, and that is to love. He's to love his wife as Christ loves the church. And that's it. Always love, never domination. Always love, never angst, never disappointment, never the shaking of the fingers or the shaking of the head. Only showing love in all situations. And it's never the husband's role to teach about submission. Our role as a husband is to treat her in such a way that she would willingly want to submit. And wives, that willingness is the idea behind hupotasso, behind submission. You, where you willingly want to come alongside and help your wife, you help your husband be the man the Lord wants him to be. Peter picks up this concept in 1 Peter chapter 3, where he says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. So whether your husband is a believer or not, submission should always be born out of love and a desire to care and never to be done begrudgingly. And this is the attitude that we should all have when we come to Christ. It's always about our attitude, always about our heart. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used of his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, which is the word doulos, which really means slave. All right, so our attitude should be that of servanthood, not of selfishness. Okay, so husbands, we are to submit, wives are to submit to their lover, not an ogre. Paul's instruction is not wives submit, husbands boss. Very clearly, it is wives submit, husbands love. And three times this admonition is repeated. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Verse 28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 33, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself. This is not as a friend, not as a partner in life. It doesn't mean to love her passionately, although that'd be very nice to do. This love that is used here is the word agape. It refers to a self-sacrificial love that God has for humanity. The understanding is built upon the Hebrew word chesed, which means the loving kindness of God, which is taught throughout the Old Testament. So the husband is to love like that. Does that sound hard? Yeah. The husband's obligation to love is not only repeated three times, but so is the requirement to model his attitude and behavior after Christ. A husband's headship is to model Christ as the head of the church in verse 23. That seems like a pretty high bar. A husband's love is to model Christ's love for the church. That seems like a pretty high standing. And we husbands are to nourish and treasure her as Christians. How are we doing in these? The church in verse 29. So husbands, how are we doing in these areas? If we were to ask our wife, how do you think she would respond? John Stott wrote these words in his commentary on Ephesians. The husband is to love her with what is sometimes termed Calvary love. No higher standard is conceivable. A Christian husband who even partially fulfills this ideal preaches the gospel without ever opening his lips, for people can see in him that quality of love which took Jesus Christ to his cross. So what does verse 25 say? He says he gave himself up for the church to make her holy, cleansing her, washing with water, through the word, to present him to himself as a radiant church without blemish. So Jesus' love for us is so much more than him just dying for us. In other words, his love and self-sacrifice were not some idle displays, but was purposeful. His desire for the church is that he wants someday to display us as his beautiful, radiant church. Jesus wants to liberate us from sin that easily entangles us. He wants to liberate his people from things like hate, envy, lust, fear. He wants to liberate us so we can run and not grow weary. He wants us to experience a joy and a peace that only comes from an active relationship with him. We husbands cannot do for our wives as Christ has done for the church. We can't. But he does not let us off the hook that easy. He understands our limitations. So he says, husbands, in the same way, you ought to love your wife as your own body. Jesus is saying to husbands, as you feed and take care of yourself, it's a reflection of my love for the church. Do the same for your wife. Live in such a way with her that you help liberate her to be the person that Jesus wants her to be. He's calling us men to be servants to our wives. He wants us to wash their feet, whether that's literal or not. I'll leave that with you. But why? Because he has asked us to leave our father and mother, to cleave to our wives, and be one. He who loves his wife loves himself. So husbands, servanthood is born out of life, submission. It's all born out of the same thing. It is born out of love. We serve our wives because we love them. We submit to our husbands because we love them. Both are born out of love. All right, I just want to spend a few moments on those last verses, 31 through 33. I'm going to read them again. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. All right, so he calls that verse in Genesis 2, where a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. He calls it a mystery, and it is only when Christ came that this mystery was more spelled out. And that mystery is this, that God gave us marriage not simply because he thought it best for society. He wanted us to subdue the earth, its creation, procreate. Maybe it's the best thing for our kids. All true. But God did not give us marriage simply for these things. He gave us marriage so that we can display his love for his bride, the church. It's like he's saying, those two people, the husband and the wife, will be my representative on earth. I want the world to know how much I love them, that Jesus will never, ever leave his bride. John Piper said this, our marriage is on display for all the world to see. What this means is that our marriages exist for God's glory. He gets the glory. Wives and husbands, he is calling you to a special relationship. He's calling the wife not to submit to everybody, but he's calling the wife to submit to the husband as the church is supposed to submit to Christ in this special relationship. He's not calling the husband to love everyone as he's calling him to love the wife with this agape love, in a way like Jesus loves the church and died for her. He has a special calling for both. And he has asked this important work from us because he wants our love, he wants your love for each other to be a reflection of his love for his church. So, let each of us love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Our marriages are on display, and it's to bring God the glory in all things. So may we treat each other in a way that we proclaim that to those around us. Our marriage is on display. It exists to bring God glory, and may his glory shine in our marriages and in our homes forever. All right, let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your great love. Lord, I thank you that you have called wives and husbands to live with each other in a way that is so different than any other relationship. Lord, we are to live with each other in a way that seems almost impossible. And yet, as we're filled with your Spirit, as we are filled with your Spirit, Lord, we know that all things are possible to Christ, that you who have called us to live with our husbands in a respectful way and our wives in an agape sort of love, Lord, that you are a God who keeps helping us to grow and deepen in that relationship. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for forgiveness, because we all need it. We need it in our homes. We need it in our marriages. Lord, help husbands and wives to strive, Lord, to be that example of your love for the church. Lord, it's like you said, how can I get the message out? How can I get the message of my love for the church out? I know what I'll do. I'll do it through them. I'll have a husband leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And as they treat each other with such love and respect, the world will see my love for my bride, the church. So, Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, you help us to be that light, that example in the world. For, Lord, our marriages should be a place that you get the glory, where, Lord, that you are glorified. It's not just about us. It is given to us. It has been ordained by you for a greater purpose. Help us, Lord, as your people, to love and respect as we should. Do a good work in us, Lord, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.